Welcome to the Hackberry House of Cho Sun. My name is Bob, and reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster. That's a quarterly that's put out by the people at Mount Zion Bible Church in Pensacola, Florida. The topic this quarter is conscience, and to speak on it again today, we have the words of Arthur Pink. He lived up until 1952. And I've told you about him before. His text is Hebrews 13:18. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. And that's the title of his message, A Good Conscience. This expression, a good conscience, occurs in several other passages in the New Testament. And because of its deep importance, it calls for our closest attention. Much is said in the Word about conscience, and much depends upon our having and preserving a good one. Therefore, it behooves us to give our best consideration to this weighty subject. Not only is it one of great practical moment, but it is especially timely in view of the conscienceless day in which we live. Now, conscience is either good or evil, according as it is governed by the revealed will of God. Briefly, the evil conscience first. This is of several kinds. There is the ignorant and darkened conscience, relatively so and not absolutely, for all possess rationality and the light of nature. This is the condition of the heathen and, alas, of an increasing number in Christendom, who are reared in homes where God is utterly ignored. Then there is the brazen and defiant conscience, which blatantly refuses to be in subjection to God's known will. Such was the case with Pharaoh. In the case of Herod, we see a bribed conscience, pretending that his oath obliged him to behead John the Baptist. The seared and insensible conscience pertains to those who have long resisted the light and are given over by God to a reprobate mind. The despairing and desperate conscience leads its possessor to lay violent hands upon himself. At the new birth, the conscience is renewed, being greatly quickened and enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Through the exercise of faith, the conscience is purified, being cleansed by an appropriation of the blood of Christ. A good conscience may be defined as one that is set to please God in all things, for it hates sin and loves holiness. It is governed by the Word, being in subjection to the authority of its author. Its binding rule is obedience to God and to Him alone, refusing to act apart from His light. Consequently, the more conscientious the Christian is, the more he refuses all domination, that is, the traditions and opinions of man that is not divine, and the more likely he is to gain the reputation of being conceited and intractable, meaning stubborn. Nevertheless, each of us must be much on his guard, lest he mistake pride and self-will for conscientious scruples. There is a vast difference between firmness and an unteachable spirit, as there is between meekness and fickleness. How is a good and pure conscience obtained? Briefly, by getting it rightly informed and by casting out its filth through penitential confession. The first great need of conscience is light, for ignorance corrupts it. That the soul be without knowledge, it is not good, Proverbs 19:2. As a judge that understands not the laws of his country is unfit to give judgment on any matter that comes before him, or as a dim eye cannot properly perform its office, so a blind or uninformed conscience is incapable to judge of our duty before God. Conscience cannot take God's part unless it knows His will. And for a full acquaintance with that, we must daily read and search the Scriptures. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word, Psalm 119, verse 9. Oh, to be able to say, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let us now mention some of the qualities or characteristics of a good conscience. First, sincerity. Alas, how little of this virtue is left in the world! What shams and hypocrisy now obtain on every side, in the religious, the political, the commercial, and the social realm! This is a conscience-less generation. Consequently, there is little or no honesty, fidelity, or reality. That which now regulates the average person is a temporary expediency rather than acting according to principle. But it is otherwise with the regenerate. The fear of the Lord has been planted in his heart. Therefore, can he say with the apostle, "We trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly." A sincere conscience genuinely desires to know God's will and is truly determined to be in subjection thereto. Guile has received its death wound, and the heart is open to the light, ready to be searched thereby. Tenderness is another property of a good conscience. By this quality is meant a wakeful heart, a wakefulness of heart, so that it smites for sin upon all occasions offered. So far from being indifferent to God's claims, the heart is acutely sensitive when it has been ignored. Even for what many consider trifling matters, a tender conscience will chide and condemn. Job resolved to preserve a tender conscience when he said, "My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live." Again, we may understand this characteristic from its opposite, namely a seared conscience, which is contracted by a habitual practice of that which is evil, the heart becoming as hard as the public highway. Pray frequently for a tender conscience, dear reader and dear listener. Fidelity, when conscience faithfully discharges its office, there is a constant judging of our state before God as a measuring of our ways by his holy word. Thus the Apostle Paul could say, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." The favorable judgment that others may entertain of him will afford no satisfaction to an upright man unless he has the testimony of conscience that his conduct is right in the sight of God, and no matter what the fashions of the hour or the common custom of his fellows may be, one whose heart beats true to God will not do anything knowingly against conscience. His language will ever be, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. Acts 4:19. On the other hand, his frequent prayer is, "Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Psalm 139. And then there's tranquility. This is the sure reward of sincerity and fidelity. For wisdom's ways, in contrast from those of folly, are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. An offended conscience will offend us, and a wounded spirit who can bear? The Christian may as well expect to touch a live coal without pain as to sin without trouble of conscience. But a clear conscience is quiet, condemning not, being unburdened by the guilt of sin. When we walk closely with God, there is a serenity of mind and peace of heart that is the very opposite of the state of those who are lawless and disobedient. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, Isaiah 57. The tranquility of a good conscience is an earnest of the undisturbed calm that awaits us on high. But let it be pointed out that every peaceful conscience is not a good one, nor is every uneasy conscience an evil one. The conscience of some is quiet because it is insensible. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace, Luke 11:21. That is a quiet, evil conscience because it has been put to sleep by the opiates of Satan. True tranquility of conscience is to be determined from the other properties. It must issue from sincerity, tenderness, and fidelity, or otherwise it is a seared one. We must consider not how much inward peace we have, but how much cause. As in a building, not the fairness of the structure, but the foundation of it is to be most regarded. On the other hand, a tender conscience is liable to err through lack of sufficient light and needlessly write bitter things against itself, which is a weak conscience, 1 Corinthians 8:12, as we may also be troubled by sins already pardoned. Now, a good conscience can only be maintained by constant diligence. Acts 24 says, "Herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." The apostle made it his daily employment to keep his conscience clear, that it might not justly accuse him of anything, so that he should have the witness in his own heart that his character and conduct were pleasing in the sight of the Holy One. The maintenance of a good conscience is an essential part of personal piety. "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, holding faith and a good conscience," 1 Timothy 1. That is the sum of personal godliness, faith being the principle of things to be believed by us, conscience being the principle of the things to be done. Faith and a good conscience are linked together again in 1 Timothy 1:5 and 3:9, for we cannot hold the one without the other. If the reader will turn back to Acts 24, he'll find that Paul was replying to charges brought against him. In verses 14 to 16, he made his defense, giving therein a brief epitome of practical and experimental Christianity. As the foundation, he gives an account of his faith, believing all things which are written as the immediate proof thereof, and have hope toward God. And then a brief account of his conversation. "Herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense." A saving knowledge of the truth, then, is such a belief of the Scriptures as produces a hope of eternal life, which is evidenced by a keeping of the heart with all diligence. The same is enumerated again in the end of the commandment, the design of the gospel institution, which is that love that fulfills the law, issuing from a heart that beats true to God, 1 Timothy 1:5. "Herein do I exercise myself." We must make it our constant endeavor, first by a diligent and daily searching of the Scriptures, that we may discover the will of God. We are exhorted, "Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. This in order that we may ascertain what is pleasing to him, so that we offend not either in belief or worship." A conscience ill-informed is at best a weak and ignorant one. Second, by a serious inquiry into the state of our heart and ways. Psalm 4:4, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still." We need to frequently challenge and call ourselves to account. If we would have conscience speak to us, we must speak often to it. It is given us for this very reason, that we may judge of our state and actions with respect to the judgment of God. Then let us search and try our ways, Lamentations 3:40. Take time, dear reader, dear listener, to parley with yourself, and consider how matters stand between you and God. Short reckonings prevent mistakes, and so review each day and put right what has come between you and God. Third, a uniform course of obedience. 1 John 3, "Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." Fourth, by a constant alertness, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." Fifth, by a serious resistance and mortification of sin, cutting off the right hand, putting out the right eye. Sixth, by a sincere repentance and confession when conscious of failure. Seventh, by faith's appropriation of the cleansing blood of Christ. Amen. That's from the Studies in the Scriptures of January 1938, available from Chapel Library. Thank you so much for being here today, as you are, I think, on a regular basis, and I am so happy about that. But I do hope that you will look around the website and see the other things that are there. We have persecution stories from North Korea in English and Korean. We have over 3,000 audios featuring some of the church's great preachers. And there's more things over at Pasturelands, which is my YouTube channel. Or you can contact me to check out our Zoom meetings that we have a couple times a week. bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. We'll get you to me and we can talk. I hope that will happen. Thank you so much again. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. This particular audio is being released on the 23rd of September, 2022. Lord willing, we'll get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.